Hello and thanks for downloading the Wax Lyrical Podcast from Wax On and the Marketing Society. And welcome to another special Business as Unusual episode, recorded remotely in our homes. Please join us as we chat about how we can help each other get through this unprecedented situation. I'm Mark Runicus, and in this episode, my Wax On colleague Paul Jacobs and I are joined by three recent advertising and marketing graduates from Bournemouth University, and they are Emily Doyle, Jess Parkinson, and Robert Whiting. And we discuss the question, what will become of the next generation of marketing and advertising talent as they find themselves on the job market in the middle of a global pandemic? And let's not forget the government is already paying the wages of 8.4 million people through the furlough scheme and is providing income support to a further 2.3 million. And the latest estimates are forecasting a 10% unemployment rate. That's 3.5 million people out of work. So, as around 600,000 students leave university now, how will the marketing sector ensure we keep the best talent flowing into our organisations? We started the conversation by asking Robbie, Emily and Jess to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name's Robbie. I'm studying advertising at Bournemouth University. I had a sandwich year within my third year and I did my placement at Opportunity China, where I worked as a marketing and recruitment coordinator. My desired career or future path would be to go into be a media planner, but I'm currently looking at potentially doing a master's degree.
Hi, I'm Emily. I've recently finished my degree in marketing communications at Bournemouth University. It was a four-year sandwich course where I had 3 years of study covering units from digital marketing, global marketing communications, and corporate sponsorship. And I did my placement year at Hilton, where I had the opportunity to work on a range of global marketing campaigns, tactical campaigns, and CRM. But now I'm looking for a career within a marketing advertising agency, particularly in account management, as I've had the opportunity to do a few work experience placements, and I feel as though that account management is the right role for me.
Hi, I'm Jess and I study marketing communications at Bournemouth University. It was a four-year sandwich course. So in my third year, I did a placement at Sony Pictures Entertainment in Soho. I absolutely loved it and learned so much on my experience. And from that, I think I'd really like to get a job within the PR industry and kind of working with talent in film and TV. My initial plans were to go travelling in January, so kind of on the current situation, I'm not sure what's happening, and I'm very open-minded to any opportunities that come my way.
So how are they feeling about their futures right now? Here's Emily.
During this time, I feel a bit apprehensive about the current job market. As you can imagine, jobs are quite limited at the moment, and it wasn't particularly what I expected when coming out of university. I expected there to be obviously a lot of jobs available, and it would just be a process of applying for different jobs, going through a few job interviews. But obviously, that is not the case at the moment. Although I do think it is important for others and also myself to remain positive during these times. Although there are industries that are suffering as a result of lockdown and the virus, there are also industries such as the food and drink industry, telecommunications, and also the digital landscape, really, that are obviously looking for jobs because they're becoming a lot more in demand. So I think it is important to remain positive. There will be more job opportunities as time goes on. But I think for now, you've just got to keep up to date, seeing what jobs are available and just doing things to keep busy, really.
Either of you, sort of Robbie, Jess, are you kind of actively applying for jobs and having interviews?
I felt quite concerned as well, particularly behind it all, because I mean, there's going to be 600,000 odd students graduating this year. You hear a lot of in the news with companies planning on cutting graduate schemes, etc. So it's kind of really based my decision to take a year out, give myself a year of breathing space and do a master's degree potentially. So I kind of think this year or next year when I go into the next academic year, it will also give the labour market a chance to slightly recover from this global recession, I suppose, that we're essentially going into. If you had asked me last year what my plans were, it would have been to go and get a job straight away. And then after that, it would have been to go travelling, if not. And to do a master's degree probably would have been my last option. So it really shows how COVID's kind of done a complete U-turn on me. And I'm essentially using the postgraduate study as a chance to have that year of breathing room and to let that market to recover, as well as potentially improve my skills as well, which I think is quite important. Going back in terms of sort of how it is applying as well, it's tough, really. I think my piece of advice to final year graduates would be when they have a job which is being advertised, to go out and get it rather than wait to the weekend essentially to apply for it, because there's going to be so many other people out there who'll be so on board and so ready to go and get that job that you just need to be sort of have some urgency about yourself and just go and get it.
I mean, I guess similar to Em and Robbie, in terms of there's just so many unanswered questions at the minute and everything's a bit all up in the air. So, I mean, I would be looking to get a job to earn money for travelling. However, even just getting kind of like retail jobs is quite difficult at the minute. I know a lot of friends who have been laid off from Tesco. So it's kind of a bit daunting to think, what am I going to do next? And I agree with Robbie, you kind of need to have that urgency to just keep looking. As I say, I'm not looking for kind of my full-time career at the moment. But yeah, I think you just need to be quite open-minded to everything and keep up to date with all the new jobs that are coming out at the moment.
So Emily, back to you. I think let's dig a bit more into kind of the practicalities of applying and where you're looking. So where is the best place to start for you at the moment? Where are you spending most of your time to look for jobs and grad programs, and what are you seeing most kind of positive vibes from?
Yeah, so the main place I've been looking for job opportunities is on LinkedIn Jobs. I feel like it's a great platform to specify your search, as well as it's constantly updated, and I feel like as though it's a lot easier to use than other sites such as LinkedIn and places like that. So I would definitely advise using LinkedIn Jobs. But also for recent graduates and those leaving university, I would also advise them to use their career department as a part of their university. It's not only do they help in forming your like CVs and cover letters, they also tell you as well the best places to look. And luckily for us at Bournemouth University, we actually have a My Careers Hub where they post different like job opportunities and things like that. So definitely keep in contact with your career department as they'll be able to point you in the right direction. When looking at the current job scenario and that there aren't many jobs available, I think it is important to adapt to new ways of applying for jobs. So like you said about going back to places where I potentially did work experience before, I am looking to contact them again. But I feel as though when you are contacting either the organisation directly or even the most like relevant individual, from my perspective, I always feel as though you've only got one shot at it. You've only got one shot to send an email. You need to make sure that email has everything that you need in there to make yourself stand out. So I'm currently using this time to to make my LinkedIn profile stand out, make my CV the best it has been, as well as cover letters to make sure that one shot counts.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about kind of bringing your profile and LinkedIn pages to life and getting your personality across and being as creative as possible. Robbie, tell us a bit more about some of the applications you've done throughout the past and are doing now, or any of your colleagues and fellow students you've seen that have been trying to be as creative as possible in selling themselves.
The point behind creativity with applications, making yourself stand out, to be more creative, I think, or what I've learned and been taught on my placement as well at university, is to make a good judgment call when you apply to a specific company. Sometimes you should just do some research behind the company and see how creative they are. And I think that can sway and depend how creative your CV should really be. I've seen and heard on social media some people come up with some really creative CVs that they've applied for their companies. So, for example, some people have turned their CVs into sort of chocolate bar wrappers, essentially, and sent it to Nestle. Some people have turned their CVs into a wine bottle label or something as really creative as that. Or some things go viral on LinkedIn, which I noticed, which is some people standing on the London Underground with sort of like a cardboard cutout with their CV written on it, looking for a job, etc. But I know that's really, really quite obscure and really quite out there with creativity in the CV. But with final year graduates, I noticed a lot of them can come up with sort of a story process when telling about yourself. Also, with that story, create sort of almost like a poster, essentially, about yourself and really get yourself out there and really try and prove a point to the company that you're going for, that you are creative, that you are the right person for the job. And I feel like if you are unsuccessful in the application process when you've done a creative CV or put yourself out there, then potentially the job or the company isn't quite right for you, which might be a positive outcome from that.
I think it's important as well during times like this when we're just sitting around, maybe even just sitting around and like making something that you can even add to your portfolio and like maybe using new softwares and things like that, that can really make you stand out.
I also saw an agency on LinkedIn who were encouraging their like new employees to send in CVs as a video. And so to kind of give like a really creative video about themselves. And I thought that was like a really, it sounds so simple, but like a really good idea. And obviously you get to actually kind of, I think there's so much more when you meet a person face to face, you can tell like what they're like so much more than reading a piece of paper.
Hopefully for all of you guys, you'll be going into kind of what you want to do next. But when you start those first jobs and you're the grad or the kind of going in as the newbie, how do you feel about thinking ahead and that might be remote and you'll be working from home? How do you guys feel about that? Jess, I'll come to you.
I think it's quite a crazy prospect because as we've spoken about before, you know, everything has changed and it's never what you would have imagined. I think also there are benefits and drawbacks to it because I think a huge part of this industry is meeting people. And kind of that's definitely one aspect that I absolutely love and what draws me to it is meeting new people and chatting face to face kind of thing and really making new connections and being creative in that kind of space. But then obviously I do think there are advantages to kind of maybe getting your foot in the door first online and through calls like this and just almost being able to break that ice in the comfort of your own home in a strange kind of way. And then when you do eventually get into the office or whatever it may be, it'll be quite nice to already have spoken to those people, know everyone, and then it's almost nice to properly meet people again. So I think, I mean, it's quite scary and I would much rather be meeting people properly and doing it how it was always meant to be. But I do think there are advantages to it and it might make people actually feel more comfortable to meet people this way rather than, I don't know, having a big commute and then meeting people for the first time.
Yeah, just drawing from what Jess said, although it's not the ideal situation and how I would have seen myself starting a graduate program, I think during these times, like we've mentioned previously, you need to adapt. And obviously, if a graduate program did come my way, I would just have to adapt to the situation and I would have to introduce myself to everyone online and carry things out that way. But I also think I feel as though our generation, Generation Z, are probably maybe best suited to be able to adapt to these ways of working quickly because our generation speak to each other a lot over technology. And personally for me, over video call, I don't really find it that strange. I don't know if that's just me, but yeah, I don't really mind it too much. So I don't really think it would affect me as much as it maybe would potentially my dad, who I think is still struggling after 8 weeks of video calls.
So I think sort of those old habits, which are now kind of dying essentially like Jess was saying, with face-to-face interactions and essentially sort of new challenges are going to emerge. But I also feel like a factor that we could miss out on is kind of like the camaraderie. It's going to be quite important to keep that sort of feeling of togetherness. And it's going to be quite hard, especially when working from home, because it's going to be remote. But I do think this is where companies, as well as final year graduates, are going to have to, as well as the older generation, start learning to use sort of technology to the best that they can, especially through Zoom. It's going back to what Emily said with her dad, who was potentially struggling with using sort of video calls and things like that. But in terms of the challenges, I think we're going to have to start managing our time correctly. So how managers are going to have to find ways to sort of know that we're doing our work correctly, set ourselves routines, and find ways to effectively communicate and essentially take regular breaks when you need them, because it's going to be quite tough. And I feel like it could be quite a lonely process in some senses. So it's going to be a way for companies and employees to try and come together and keep that camaraderie, I think.
I also think an advantage of the space online is that even if you are a manager, you're kind of on a level playing field with everybody else. So whether you're the new person or you've worked there for 20 years, you're all sitting at home in exactly the same circumstances. So I think that brings a teamwork and a kind of togetherness, which I think would be really positive. And just for managers to kind of emphasize that we're all in this together, and to really trust their employees to be doing their work. And I don't know, just kind of maybe having like weekly meetups and catch-ups, just one-on-one with people to see how they're getting on. And as we were saying before, just about well-being, I think mindfulness is really important, and just making sure that everyone is okay and happy in the situation.
You guys have very, very kind of helpfully touched on a few of the resources that you're using or have heard about. But let's talk a bit more kind of to build on those, the useful resources or tools that you found out there to help you in your job search and also when you start to move into your new jobs.
A few of the free training resources I've been using since I finished my degree is firstly the Google Garage online certifications and free courses. So there's a few courses on there that go through like the basics of coding, a bit of information on AI, machine learning. And I'm currently midway through my certification on the fundamentals of digital marketing. And once you finish all the modules, it actually gives you a digital certificate, which you could keep and upload to your LinkedIn profile, and just something to add to your CV and also keep you busy during these times. So that's definitely something I would recommend doing. Also, I've come across a website called Center of Excellence. They have a lot of diploma-based certifications from like marketing courses to interior design courses to even meditation courses. And they usually range from £100 up to buy the certification, but with the code Learn at Home, no spaces or capitals, all the courses are £29. And I've seen a lot of people on social media like doing a lot of the courses, and it's a very generous discount and something to just keep you busy during these times.
Jess, how about you?
Yeah, so on similar lines to what Emily was saying, I came across online Yale University are actually releasing a lot of their courses, and well, most of them to do free, and you can kind of do online seminars, and they can send you I know that if you pay, I think it's around $49, you actually get a certificate for it, and you get marked work. So you can send the lecturer work and they will send you feedback about it. Alternatively, you can do it for free and just kind of do the work when and when you feel like it. And again, it's as Emily was saying, it's learning a new skill and it's something else to kind of add to your CV. So I found that really interesting that they're releasing all these courses online.
And Robbie, how about you? What have you seen and what have you been using?
So I've seen that people can use the alumni program services. I know for Bournemouth University, you have access to this for up to 5 years, I believe. You actually have more chance of being seen and heard when applying for jobs through this process, because it sometimes goes to the employer's email or mailbox straight away rather than going through an automated application tracking system. I would also suggest looking at your university's careers and employability social media. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I know that Bournemouth University have made their employability service completely online now, providing resources for all of us throughout this whole process. Going back to LinkedIn, you can also on the mobile app, you can filter your job applications as well to specific roles that you're interested in. You can also manage alerts. And when job applications come up, it will come straight through for your phone, which I think is a really unique tool. And lastly, I'd say join Facebook groups. You can join private Facebook groups as well, depending on what sector you're in. I know I'm part of a group, and I think Emily and Jess are as well on Facebook, part of the placement marketing group, which is really useful.
Yeah, hearing about all those resources is fantastic. And there's obviously clearly an abundance of stuff out there that you guys have done a great job of finding. And I hope whether you share this podcast with your fellow students or we get more people like you guys to listen to our podcast, but it's going to be incredibly helpful for those that are in a similar position. So I hope they get a chance. And we will also put some more links in the notes, won't we, Mark? I guess I'll come to you guys with a very simple question. Like, if you could say kind of one shortish thing to your future employer, what would it be? Emily, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think the main piece of advice I would give is to just be transparent. I think during these times when someone is applying for a role, it's important for employees to be transparent as to what roles are available or aren't available or when best to actually contact them. I came across a quote during lockdown. It says, people will remember how you treated them during this time. So I think it's important for employers to try their best to get back to those who have contacted them seeking jobs. And like I said, be transparent about what is available.
Jess, how about you?
Along similar lines, I think to kind of always remain positive. And one thing I found really helpful over trying to get placement jobs is them giving good feedback. So kind of even if I didn't get the job, just to give feedback on how to improve and how to kind of keep making my CV better or cover letters better. I think that was really helpful. So just positive and constructive feedback, I'd say, is key at this time.
And Robbie, how about you?
I would say for employers to actively seek out the graduating year on the CVs, looking at the 2020 graduates and essentially looking at sort of the experiences that they're going through. But I also really agree with transparency, what Emily was saying, and what Jess was saying too, with feedback. Feedback's so, so helpful when you're trying to improve and better yourself. It might help you for the next job you go for, or even help you improve your CV and improve skills that really may benefit you later on in life.
We can't let you leave us without you telling us about your favourite work, and we'll somewhat put you on the spot, but we'd love to hear what your favourite advert is and why you love it. And Robbie, we'll come to you first.
So my favourite ad is by Samsung's Do What You Can't campaign. It's more commonly known as the ostrich spot, which was developed by Leo Burnett in 2017. And essentially, the advertisement was promoting Samsung Galaxy's S8 Plus, but also their virtual reality headset gear. A bit of context behind the advertisement, essentially the ostrich stumbles upon the VR headset and rather unwillingly puts it on and quite ironically activates this flight simulator game. And when it's ironic, because obviously it's a flightless bird and ostrich. Essentially, Leo Burnett, what I loved about it, took the phrase, the philosophy from Samsung of "we make what can't be made so you can do what can't be done," and basically uses that to really sort of hinder the audience and create emotional sort of rapport with us. I also like how Leo Burnett used the ostrich as a metaphor for Samsung's company, because they had issues beforehand with their phone malfunctioning, and this essentially revitalized the brand, I feel like. It also showed that anything is possible. The bird, which does the impossible by flying, and that's essentially a metaphor for Samsung. They make the impossible so we can do what can't be done. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. I also really liked that they used Elton John's Rocket Man in the background over the top of it, which I thought really created some nice connotations. And I think to be able to differentiate between happiness, fun, motivation, inspirational, it really kind of uses like cognitive reframing or sort of message reframing within the advertisement from where Samsung were sort of had issues beforehand, and now it's put them in a new spotlight as sort of this inspiring brand that they are now. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
And I think it's gonna be a Okay, Emily, we'll come to you. What's your favourite ad?
Yeah, so the first ad that comes to mind is the Barclaycard water slide advert, which advertises their contactless capabilities. I'm sure we all know the ad that I'm speaking about. I still think about it now, like near enough 10 years later. But it's where a man finishes his shift in the office, changes into his swimming trunks and takes a very, very long commute home via a water slide and stops off along the way grabbing a few groceries with this contactless card on the water slide. And I think the reason why this ad comes to mind is I remember when it came out, I think I was around 10 years old, and I remember me and my sister asking my parents, you need to take us to see this slide. And like, it looks amazing. I really want to go on it. But obviously looking back at it now as a 21-year-old, it was obviously some amazing CGI. And unfortunately, I cannot go to that water slide. but no, I just love the whole concept of the ad. It's so creative, mixing a topic such as banking with an element of fun, making people feel more relaxed about contactless payments, as well as the subtle but key message behind the ad of convenience of contactless payments.
Contactless technology from Barclaycard, making payments simpler.
It's a fantastic ad, and as you said yourself, it sort of transcended kind of what it was actually marketing. And as you said, as a young child, kind of thinking about, I want to go on that water slide. Mm. It's funny actually thinking back to think how big a push there was on contactless payments, that nowadays it's so ubiquitous about that's how everyone pays for stuff. But anyway, yeah, fantastic choice and a good theme of excellent soundtrack to the adverts so far. And Jess, last but not least, a personal favourite of mine. I think it's a great choice, but what's your favourite ad?
Yeah, so my all-time favourite ads are the Haribo adverts, specifically the Tangfastic 2016 advert, which shows, I mean, they do lots of different ones. So there's kind of ones with business people. This one is rugby players, and then there's ice hockey players as well. And it basically shows them kind of introducing the Haribo packet, and you see these kind of big burly men, and you think they're going to be really like kind of masculine or whatever, and they come out with these kiddie voices, and I just think it brings so much like fun and humor to it, and kind of again really reinstating what the Haribo brand is all about. And I think it was just so clever. It's such a simple idea, like to just the stark difference between having kids' voices on these kind of very masculine like adult bodies. It just is so funny. So yeah, I just kind of feel like that real simplicity is actually so powerful, and I would have loved to be a part of that and work on it.
Haribo Tangfastic, anyone? What does it taste like?
Like fire and a little bit of electricity.
Okay, my one tasted of craziness and all of like the things in the world, and it tastes amazing.
I like this fizzy one the best.
You got Tangfastic face.
No, I haven't.
A big thank you to Jess, Emily and Robbie, and Paul and I genuinely wish you the very best of luck in your future careers. And if you're an employer looking for a budding media planner, a PR exec or a digital marketer, because that's what they want to do, please do get in touch with us and we'll connect you. And of course, there are thousands more students like Jess, Emily and Robbie. So if you are an employer, let's do what we can to help them. Even those little things like providing rejection feedback can make a huge difference to young people starting out on their careers. And that's it from us. We'll be back in a few weeks with more business as unusual conversations from the world of advertising and marketing. Meanwhile, please leave us a review on iTunes and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends. See you soon. Bye-bye.